the guy who, you know, the milkman fucking your wife, you know, that guy's back and he tells Randy about the pet cemetery. So, you know, don't go bury your son there. Well, he goes bury the pig there. So when Butters comes back, they think he's the and they chain him up in the basement.
Marjorie, you said is the name of that one?
Margarine.
Margarine. Oh, Butters, Margarine, I get it.
Oh, fuck, you know I just got it. I just fucking got it, holy shit. Oh,
what's up, Houdat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and my drunk skill rating is zero, but I'm working on it. I poured myself, I had the last shot of Crown, so I made a Crown and Coke, and now I think I'm going to have to dip into some Knob Creek. Anyway,
you're going to be slobbing on a knob? Is that what you said?
I like corn on the cob.
y'all plan that?
No. When did we ever plan anything? Come on.
No. All right, there's two ways you can look at our Week 3 performance. On the Saints Week. Actually, the Saints Week 3 performance. I had nothing to do with it. On one hand, you could let yourself get more depressed and start to wonder who the Saints are going to pick in the first round of the 2016 draft. On the other hand, you might see the silver lining and say to yourself, self, I think I saw some players that maybe showed a little bit of development, maybe some improvement, maybe even some promise. And just like last week, the Saints were technically still in it until the bitter end. So join us for this week's episode as we continue to chase that elusive first win. Put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
0.0. Got nothing today.
2 weeks in a row.
2 weeks in a row. Still coping with the way the season's slowly unfolding. Should I say quickly unfolding?
Not slowly. It ain't nothing slowly about it.
No.
Unless you're talking about the way we're putting our points.
Yeah, right. So, just again, played well enough to win and didn't. I mean, just didn't. Couldn't do it at the end. Frustrating because I felt like we came out with a good game plan and McCown played better than I'm sure a lot of people thought he would. And lack of pass rush continues to kill us.
Yeah. All right, Damon, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Any number?
Well, 0 as normal.
Supposed to be tradition.
I know. I'm trying to change tradition to normal. But echoing Jason and both of y'all's statements earlier, I mean, and maybe this is just because I'm that guy with the Saints, and I was pleasantly surprised by the game, you know? I mean, even though we lost, McNabb...
We didn't get that far.
Yeah.
We had a chance at the end of the game.
Oh, no, right. McNabb played very well. Again, I mean, his number, I think he was 31 for 38, 310 yards. I mean, Drew Brees couldn't have put up much better numbers, I don't think. I mean...
So, when did we start doing game recap before we actually get into the segment? We're supposed to just be doing introductions, but you guys have just going straight into the game. Both of you.
I just gave a little tease. I didn't give a full-on breakdown. Something to change the norm. I mean, whatever we're doing ain't working. We're on three.
Right. We're trying to do something with our mojo around here.
Right.
It ain't us. We ain't the problem. Anyway, game recap.
I wish we were the problem. That'd be easy to get rid of.
Right. All right, continue with your points about Luke McCown, Damon.
Well, again, I mean, I don't think any of us expected that. Those numbers were very good, very respectable. He didn't hurt us. You know, could Drew have done better? It's not the quarter. I don't know what the fuck it is. I mean, I guess That's the most frustrating thing. Is that it's the fucking defense. I'm tired of giving up 30-second touchdowns. For the love of Christ, can we please at least make it a 4-minute touchdown? The offense ran good. I felt, and I'd like to hear y'all's opinion, I felt that the coaches called a pretty good game.
At least on the offensive side of the ball. I mean,
there's nothing good about the defense.
Right.
Okay, yeah. Please don't ever.
I mean, the pass protection by the line was there for the most part. I mean, did McCown get sacked at all? I didn't think so. I don't think I remember him getting sacked.
So, wait, you say in the pass protection. Sorry, I went to make a drink. Y'all talking about the fact that what's-his-face didn't play. What, Jari Evans? Did he not play?
Yeah, Evans was out. Kelemente played in. Carolina had one sack on us.
Okay.
But it seemed like they held their own, you know, pass protection-wise. Running-wise, I mean, we only ran for 70 yards in the game. Only 24 carries, you know, 38 pass attempts, 24 rushing attempts. You know, not too many holes there. But to me, what stood out was just the drops by the receivers. I mean, Colston
on that last drive, yeah.
I mean, and that's, you know, another, you know, some pictures from that last interception that he threw at the end of the game. Everybody's saying, hey, well, Colston was wide open in the middle. Yeah, Colston also just dropped the last two passes thrown his way.
Yeah, I wouldn't trust him either.
So, right, so I don't fault him for not hitting it to him right there. It makes me sad, you know, the demise of Marcus Colston. You know, kind of shed a tear there. It's like, yep. I mean, he's done.
And this is not the first game. I mean, he did it against Arizona on that drive, which led to the Drew Brees interception. Remember? He did the little whoop-dip, and it went right into the defense's hands.
It's just a little sad. That's
no,
all.
Well, I mean, definitely he's going to have games like the first one and then the one Sunday. But he did pretty well against Tampa Bay.
Oh.
I don't remember him. I don't remember Colston dropping any that game. And again, it's a lot different when I'm sitting in the dome and you don't have, you know, all the replays. But I thought he played well against Tampa Bay. They target him a lot.
He played okay. But, I mean, for a guy like that with his experience, I mean, you can't drop those balls.
Oh, no doubt. Look, I mean, is he a player declining? I mean, he's 10 years in the league now. I mean, yeah, it happens.
Yeah. Surprised they didn't try to give the ball to Spiller more. I mean, he only had one carry and two catches. And Peyton said he was healthy. So I thought we would have seen more of Spiller in the game.
I'm not surprised about that yet. I mean, maybe this week, because I think now he's actually made the comment, I need to get Spiller the ball more.
Well, you're the coach. You call the plays.
We do. Our seeming to get a lot of that, right? Like, if only we could do this, or that, or the other. Well, you know, you're the guy that could just say, let's do that, right?
Did you say seeming?
I thought he did, too. I really thought he said it.
No.
I think he did.
Check the replay.
I'd be curious. I didn't mean to.
So, I mean,
Freudian slip.
Yeah, right. you know, on offense, I don't know what else to say. I mean, Snead had a couple of good catches. Did have one drop towards the sideline. Would like to see him catch it, but I mean, he's showing progress at least.
That's
but
and that I expect him to drop a few. not a Colston, but.
Yeah. Again, just they came out with a good game plan, and you know, only had the one mistake, the interception at the end. But Ben Watson's fumble wasn't very good. I mean, that was.
Mm-hmm. It's just some critical errors at the absolute worst times.
When we don't have that margin of error to be able to make mistakes and get away with it.
Yeah, you read that.
Especially when we're not forcing any turnovers, and the lack of pass rush was a huge factor. But also the fact that they have one guy. We couldn't even cover their one guy.
Greg
going
Olson.
Into the game. We knew Greg Olson is their receiver. And yet you let him run wild. 8 catches, 130 yards. We couldn't, I mean, what the hell were we doing?
Put Kakaha on him.
Just, I don't understand. And we dropped Kaka into coverage way too much. And I mean, we drafted the kid to rush the passer. You know, if he has to get into coverage every once in a while, that's fine. But I just almost feel like, what the hell kind of game plan did we put out there on defensive side of the ball? And we're not putting the players in position to make plays.
Is it because we're missing Keenan Lewis and Jairus Byrd? I don't think that – I honestly don't see how that could make a difference on the linebackers, but
Obviously, if they're playing, maybe they do something a little differently. But I mean, come on, it was so frustrating to watch.
And I'll give Doug credit for this statement, and I agree with it. I think it's time to move on from Rob Ryan.
Wow.
I mean,
last week we were saying it's not really him. We had the aha. It was Bill Johnson, and
well I still think it's Bill Johnson. Well, I think Bill Johnson needs to get the fuck out too.
Bill Brasky.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I saw Bill Brasky eat a whole deer one time. Well, I mean, and yes, I mean, I still agree with what I said last week that obviously some of these coaches who've been here 10 years and nothing, you know, their message is getting stale. But ultimately, Rob Ryan puts in the scheme and everything else. You know, last year, remember, the excuse was, during the offseason, is that the defense is too complicated.
Mm-hmm.
Well, brother, that's your fault. I mean, I don't know how else to say it. Right. You know, I mean, that's like that's like me trying to teach you to play the piano and skipping ahead, you know, to the eighth lesson, or trying to put a 5-year-old in the third grade. That's the teacher's fault. That's not necessarily the player's fault. And look, we all have to admit, I think, that, you know, we're not giving him a lot to work with as far as talent is concerned.
No, I mean, tossing out a lot of rookies out there and Brandon Browner's corpse.
You know, so, I mean,
it's just, I mean, there's got to be, right. You're not getting a pass rush, but find a way to do something.
Right. And I know he's been vilified because of the trumped up bounty gate, but man, it really does show you what a good defensive coordinator. I guess he had better players too. He had Vilma in the center, someone who doesn't get enough credit with Jonathan Vilma.
Oh, he's in my ring of honor. I give him all the credit in the world.
All right. And then, you know, he who will not be mentioned, the therapist.
Oh yeah.
You know, I mean, he had a standout year, but still, Greg Williams seemed, the 3 years he was here, to come up with some sort of defense.
Except for that damn San Francisco game.
Yeah, and that's a whole nother.
Right. Again, they're one guy we couldn't stop.
Right.
The one guy you know they're going to throw it to. The one guy you have to stop.
It is frustrating. Look, and I don't even know what's more frustrating. I mean, it's not like last year. Last year at this time, I was in shock. Like, how are we 0-3? We were, you know, a favorite. We had the best team on paper. We were Super Bowl contenders. We, you know, this year it's kind of like, well, I was hoping for more, but it didn't. You know, it doesn't shock me that we're 0-3. But son of a bitch, I really believe. This is going to even contradict the statement I said a little earlier. If Drew Brees would have been healthy, okay, we'd have beat Tampa Bay, because those two interceptions he threw in the long balls are completions, and one of them, Cooks was 5-10 yards ahead of the defender, okay, and that's a touchdown. Then, you know, then maybe Brees goes to Colston. Even though I hate to say anything, I can't say anything bad about the way McNown played. I can't. If you saw differently, speak up.
No. He played as well as we could have expected.
Right. I'm thinking a healthy Drew Brees is a special elite quarterback. And maybe, you know, we could possibly be sitting here at 2-1 instead of 0-3. And then that Atlanta, fuck Atlanta. Just terrible how they came back against the Cowgirls and the Giants and all three weeks. The Falcons have Wait. Made comeback win they should have lost.
Yeah, the other team choked it away to them.
Right, the Giants. It was the Giants, the Cowboys.
The Eagles. Remember the Eagles.
They
field goal.
Right. So Atlanta wishes that they were in the NFC East.
Yeah, right.
And no offense, so do I. I mean the Eagles, the Cowboys, the Giants, and the Skins are not looking that.
No.
But how about?
I wish we were in the NFC East right now.
That's what I'm saying. But how about the NFC? I mean, the AFC South.
Wait, are we in NFL reach round already?
No,
we're babbling.
Right. When you're 0-3,
when I disappear, I disappear for a minute, and you show goes.
Well,
off.
Yeah, but hold on. But how about the NFC?
Wait,
shut up! God damn it!
No, I'm the host of the.
We're talking about, and I'm speaking. We're talking about fucking Indianapolis is 0-2. They win one game, and all of a sudden they're on top of their division. Okay, that's a pretty sad state of affairs.
Well, yeah. Well, we knew that division sucked. I mean, yeah. Other than that division sucked for a long time. Outside, you know, the Colts were the only decent team.
Right. Don't talk about the block extra point.
But well, it wasn't. It was the botched snap by McCown. McCown played a great game, except when he had the hold. Yeah. He botched it.
Well, he didn't practice holding all weekend. He was too busy. He was too busy taking the first team snaps.
Which, I mean, you know, then forced him to have to go for two the next time, not getting it. And then, you know, if he just makes the correct hold the first time and just kick extra points, then at the end of the game, a field goal ties the game, and maybe you know shoot for overtime if you.
And then speaking of special teams, I'll talk about
Tom Murphy.
I mean. That's how good he is that he makes Greg McMahon look halfway competent.
The funny thing is when he dropped a punt right before they re-kicked it, mm-hmm. I remember I texted you. I'm like, all right, can we get this guy off of punt duty now?
Yeah.
I'm done with this. Hey, wait, now what did he just do? Okay, never mind.
I'm back!
And he's back!
Yeah. So look, it looks like, hey, we got ourselves a kick returner now. A hit on a draft pick.
Well, if he can catch the ball. Consistently,
but not yet to hit on a draft pick, which you corrected. But I remember when we took him, and again, not knowing much about the young guy, I mean, they took him specifically for his special teams play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it is nice that, right, not only did you hit on a draft pick, but you targeted a need and you got it. That mm-hmm. is so rare over the last, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 years with this team. It's nice to see it happen.
Yep.
Ireland.
I mean, look, that's why they're in the spot they're in right now is because the last handful of drafts have been bleh.
Right, and I said it last week, and I'll say it every week until it changes. There is one person from last year's draft. One. One person. They could have drafted the three of us as a joke, you know, and just, hey, let's sign them to, you know, a 15-day contract. You know, I know they don't,
just at least boost our listenership on the show.
Right.
Right.
And our ego. We could have said we were, you know, NFL players.
We were former Saints. That's right.
Right.
Three former Saints doing
right.
a podcast.
Right. They could have done some kind of raffle, you know. They could have done a raffle and raised some money for charity.
That would have been nice. And hell, I mean, Michael Lewis, somebody like a Michael Lewis, you know, you might have actually got somebody to stick around off the street.
Right. I mean, literally think about it. 2014 draft was less successful than the 1997 draft of Ricky Williams. All right.
Wait. I think that was the 99 draft.
Yeah.
I know you're right. Was that Ditka's last
no,
year?
No. Wait, Ditka did that his last year?
Was it his last year? I don't think it was his last year, but you're right.
Yeah,
you're
it was. Because it was so bad.
Right.
It was bad.
Right. And in 2000, we took Duke. You're right.
Right.
So that brings up a point that I want to ask you all about.
The top of your head?
Sean Payton.
Is the coach of the New Orleans Saints, right?
No, yes. No. His attitude in these post-game interviews and his tone. Did y'all talk about this?
No.
Okay. His tone, his attitude, everything, he just kind of has that same kind of feeling that Ditka had in his last year, Jim Mora had in his last year. He's lost that fire, you know, like in the past. And I heard somebody talking about this on a morning talk show on the station that will not be named this morning. And they were saying that somebody had brought up that point that, you know, Sean Payton and any hungry, aggressive new head coach that's where the team's going to respond, like they're in there and they'll hold their players accountable and they're going to get all there. But when a coach is on his way out mentally, like he's just not there anymore, he's lost it, they start to take up for the players, which he's doing, and they start to just kind of, they don't really have these answers, just kind of like a, well, you know, I mean, I don't, you know, they don't have the answers anymore, where in the past it would have been like, you know what, I saw these things, we're not going to tolerate this, we're going to get it fixed, or else these guys aren't going to be on this team. You're not getting that anymore, and so do we have to ask that question? Has Sean Payton begun to mentally check out? Is he already looking ahead to his next team?
Well, I don't know about that, but I mean, I would have to, the way I've heard it put, you know, did Bountygate cut his balls off? Did he lose his balls with that year suspension? Mm-hmm. And also, you know, losing his wife. Well, he didn't lose her. He knows where she's at. Just someone else, someone else is fucking her. Yeah. But, you know, that's a lot to take in, you know, I mean. So I don't know. And then God knows these coaches, and he's definitely one of them. You know, you're at that facility 18 hours, 19 hours a day. So,
definitely more, you know, seems like it's more of a job for him now.
Yeah. And losing never helps anything.
Right.
All right.
That magic is gone. It's just kind of, we're just kind of going through the motions as an organization again. And regardless of how or why, you know what I mean? Like, those are probable reasons for why. But the fact that it's happening, I mean, what do you do? He has been – it is rare that you see a coach with a team as long as he's been here, almost 10 years now, and succeed anymore. I mean, think about how many 10-year or more coaches have won Super Bowls?
Bill Belichick.
Yeah, that's probably it.
There you go.
Yeah, you know, you're right. Well, you're right, because I think I even remember saying the stat about for a coach to win with.
Well, you were talking about a coach winning with two teams.
Well, right. Did we figure out who did? No
yeah,
one's
there
done
was like,
that.
I don't. Guys went back to the Super Bowl. I don't think anybody had
right.
Won.
No, the Holmgren went back, and the Tuna went back. Again, anything past 1965 or whatever, whenever Super Bowl started, that's I don't count any of that shit.
Yeah, right.
But right, no, you know, no coach has switched teams and won another Super Bowl. But also, a new coach, if he's going to win the Super Bowl, it's like within his first 3 years.
Nowadays, especially.
Right, but that's always been the case. You know, I mean, that's you know, it's in his first 3 or 4 years. But you're right. You don't get a coach who's been with the team for 10 years, hasn't won a Super Bowl. Then you're probably
around.
Right. You're probably not going to win your Super Bowl. I mean, that up till now it hasn't happened.
Right. I just wonder, and I hate to think about it. I mean, Sean Payton's the best coach we've ever had. Obviously, he's got us a Super Bowl. But if you're going to survive as an organization, sometimes you got to make those harsh, tough decisions. Or maybe he's got to make that decision and say, you know what? We had a good run, guys, and somebody else, it's time for somebody else to take a chance. Well, like you said, the message gets
stale. Yeah.
And even from the top, the message gets stale. Or it worked on that group of guys that he had from 06 to 010, 011, 012, or 010 or 11.
012?
Yeah.
What do you...
But now, you're right. Ever since Bounty, and now you've had to kind of reinvent the team. You know, you got to replace a bunch of guys, and you can't recapture that.
And I mean, it also doesn't hurt that Drew Brees still a great, great quarterback.
And how many guys
probably isn't playing, you know, his prime football right now?
I disagree. Maybe not because of the offensive line. I don't think it's a Drew Brees problem.
No, you're right. No, I don't think it's a Drew Brees problem. I'm just saying he's not that same guy that he was 6 years ago who could literally take the team on his own fucking back and going to bring him to victory. He's not that guy. Six years ago, he was super Drew Brees. Now he's just the great Drew Brees. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That's all I'm saying.
He could still win. I mean, if Joe Flacco could win a Super Bowl.
Oh, God, yeah.
Brad Johnson could win a Super Bowl. Yeah.
Drew Brees is still, when healthy, you know, a top three quarterback in the league. Still a top three quarterback.
Right.
But
when healthy.
But when healthy. But now we're learning he wasn't healthy last year. We know he's not healthy this year. You know, is his body breaking down on him?
Well, he said he could play until he was 50.
Well, you know, people say a lot of things.
Right. I mean, age catches up to everybody.
Right. Yeah. I say I can fuck all night. But after,
we know that to be a lie.
But after 30 seconds, we all know it's a lie. You know?
So, but all right. So, right. And then how many guys, I still say, how many of the current or at least the last year players maybe didn't put out as much effort because they looked at it as, oh, well, we got Drew Brees. He'll carry us. Where, and then you look at yesterday, you didn't have Drew Brees, and it looked like a lot of guys stepped up their game to fill the void that he left. Well, why didn't you step your game up the last 2 weeks before that? Maybe we could have won some games.
Look, sometimes you get complacent when you know your star's not there. Everybody picks up their game to make up for it.
Yeah. Hey, and like I used to say in high school, I had this little sign on my car, put out or get out. I mean, that was, you know, so... Are we talking about something else here? I actually did have something like that in my car, but I didn't make it. A classmate made it and put it in my car as a joke. I didn't hang it up.
All right. Okay, let's move on to look at him tweets. Well, we'll start off with a new tweeter. This one's coming from Ben Wright at BenWright95, saying, with the international series starting again this weekend, will we see the Saints make the trip to London again? Obviously, they're not going this year. I'm assuming Ben is wondering if the Saints will ever go back to London. I don't know, Ben. Maybe if they keep playing like this, you may have the London Saints.
Who was it this week? I think
it's part of Pick'ems. It's
Detroit.
Oh well, no. Neil's going to all of the games, and I'll tell you what they are.
It's the Jets in Miami this week.
Okay.
I think just with the sheer number of games that they're going to continue to try to put over there. I mean, I think we're up to now what, 3 games over there?
3.
Now, it's only a matter of time before the Saints will have
right.
To go
that right. That's six. That's 16 the year.
How are they deciding? I thought it was something to do with there was a way that they decided it.
Well, I know Jacksonville wanted to go to London.
No, because they share an owner.
What,
the soccer team that's over there, right?
Well, so, but I mean, I don't know how they determine the other teams.
I think he's from there. I think that's where he. I think he is. You know,
they may be the ones that moved there. So it's kind of topical that he brought that up because I had read an article where somebody in London said they're fairly confident, and they could just be, you know, saying that, but fairly confident that there will be a team in London in the near future.
I don't see it happening.
That, I mean, I, you know what, and if you want to get international, I mean, I don't know, why don't you cross the border into Canada?
Fuck Canada!
Hey, fuck you, buddy!
That's why.
That's going to be a good add-in right there.
It just, the logistics just don't make sense.
Yeah, it really doesn't make sense. I mean,
go to get a Mexican team. Or
because, I mean,
right,
you're putting,
no,
like,
no
if,
doubt,
if
right.
you've got but one home team over there, you got teams flying over, the home team is going to be at such an advantage
right,
against the teams that are flying in.
They're playing 3 games there this year. They ain't playing shit in Canada, and Buffalo is right on the border.
Right.
Remember when Buffalo split their season
with Toronto?
Right. And look, I don't actually know the distance between Toronto and Buffalo. I don't know if it's like Baton Rouge, New Orleans, or New Orleans, Houston.
I'll tell you in a minute.
But anyway. So I can see where you're not going to put a team in Toronto with Buffalo being so close. Okay, and obviously they're close if they're sharing.
Fine.
Okay, so I understand that. And maybe you just don't have the same interest in other parts of Canada. I don't know. I mean,
hour and 45 minutes. Drive.
Okay, that's so like New Orleans to Lafayette, roughly.
That close, unless you're
right.
In
LA. No, right.
Or New York.
Correct. So, I mean, so I guess that's why you don't put one in Canada.
Wait, let's look at Vancouver to Seattle.
We're not going to put a team up there.
Or maybe the people in Vancouver don't want a team.
I just don't think
that's
that
2.5
you know,
hours
with going over cross overseas like that. I just don't think it can work. I know they want to grow it and make more money. I just think it's.
But they tried it with NFL Europe. I mean, we had all that rigmarole going on.
Yeah, but that's
on.
A lesser talent. I mean,
right. It's also. I mean,
how many other?
Right. It's also minor leagues.
All leagues. Have
yeah.
Started U.S. didn't.
Well,
work.
It's minor league to them. I mean, I'm sorry, I said it back.
Minor league to us.
It's minor league to us, but it's not minor league to them.
All right, but it's also.
But I mean,
and apparently, Germany's team was like one of the more business, successful financially.
But it's the same thing as trying to get soccer here.
Well, no one wants to watch
it. Their team, they're over there, soccer is king.
Right. Because they're a bunch of dummies.
Well, but soccer's king, and you're trying to introduce another league. It's the same thing as MLS cannot compete with the NFL here. Well, the NFL can't compete with the Premier League over there.
Well, because also the MLS over here doesn't have the best players in the world. They're
neither
all playing
in Europe. Did NFL Europe. That's the point. Thank you. All you did was just...
No. Prove. No, I mean...
Okay, I wasn't arguing your point.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's why I said thank you.
Right.
but anyway, I mean, the logistics are so hard. I forgot the fucking question. But from Ben.
Well,
from Ben,
they're going to have a lot of... They're going to have a few games. So, yeah, Jets, Miami.
They're just going to have a few
games. The Bills play the Jags, and the Lions will play the Chiefs. It almost seems like they're sending the teams that have trouble selling tickets at home.
Right, maybe. Well, but remember when they sent
the Bills, the Jags.
Well, they sent us. We weren't having problems.
Well, they sent us in 2006 after we had just missed.
No, they sent us in 2008. That's when we played San Diego over there.
Well,
remember Lance Moore's
they were
touchdown at the slide in the end zone?
That's what they were trying to sell. They were trying to get it off. We're one of the early teams to do it. Now that they're selling out, they can send the shit teams. The Jets aren't too shitty this year. But the Jags.
Well, again, the Jags might have something to do with...
Mm-hmm. They've won every year.
Again, the owner, Khan...
Right. Yeah, Khan.
Khan Nunyansoon.
Khan!
For the last few years, the Jags have gone consecutively. So that's your London team right there.
Well, again, I mean, I can only assume that they have some sort of...
Sure.
You know, because of him.
Absolutely.
If you're going to do it, I think this is the best way to do it. Play... All right, so you have three games. They're now a full NFL season is 8 games. Add 5 more games. Mm-hmm. And you get to see, you know.
Well,
but again,
maybe a team can go and do their training camp over there. And have
because you have preseason. I mean, you know, I mean, no.
And have a preseason game over there.
But who the fuck wants to travel over there for a preseason?
I don't know, and I don't care as long as it's not us. Why don't we let Atlanta go?
Well, they can move there for all I care.
Right.
But.
Oh, then we got to go there every year.
Right. But again, I mean, if you have a team there, like you said, it's going to be the logistics. It can't be a normal NFL schedule where they, you know, it's almost home away, home away, home away. So every 2 weeks they're traveling, you know.
Home away, home away, home away.
Right. You know, and so if you do something to the effect of 4 home games, 4 away games, 4 home games, 4 away games, well, then, you know, so like you said, it gives them a huge advantage. Give them a huge advantage, and then when they do come to the stateside for 4 weeks, where do they stay? Where do they practice?
Yeah.
You're not going to cost them more money by making them have another. It's a stupid fucking idea.
I agree, 100%.
Well, and maybe that. Maybe they never intend to actually put a team there, and it's just.
I'm sure they want to.
Maybe they're not that stupid.
That.
Maybe
no, they are. That's
all
are.
The talk. No, that's all the people talking. But in reality, they're sitting there saying, "There's no fucking way we're doing that."
All right. Look, we can expand our. If
they need to put a team.
If
in
they can expand their brand, and I wouldn't. All right. Okay, so you have 3 games in London. Again, I've always remember hearing that the German team did very well. Maybe put a game or two in Germany. Okay, it's a pain in the ass on the team and the players, but that's fine.
They're getting paid enough.
Right, no, they are. I'm sorry. You make 7 figures, you don't go fuck yourself. Don't complain about anything.
So is that an away game for both teams, or does that take?
No, it takes a home game away from one team. But
yeah, remember, we lost a home game.
Right.
So you paid less for your season tickets that year?
Nope.
Yeah.
Oh, we did?
Yeah. Well, yes. They took one game out. We played for 9 games instead of 10. I mean,
I don't remember. That was so long ago.
All right.
No, they still charge for the game until we have to go fuck ourselves.
So, all right. So anyway, look, they can't even put a team in L.A.
Okay, can we still?
They're not
talked about this for way too long.
All right, yeah. So next tweet from Viva La Waffle, 2 weeks in a row. Over under, how much more time did McMahon buy under Peyton with that touchdown return? Almost wish it didn't happen. # fire McMahon.
Yeah, their best buddy. They both went to Eastern Illinois at the same time. I think they were like 4 years apart, or maybe or five, could be five. They might not have been there. They're old buddies. Peyton's not getting rid of his old buddy.
It'd be a lot cooler if you did.
But unfortunately, he's not. And look,
Peyton makes it before McMahon goes.
Well, you know, this is a trap that you see a lot of coaches go through. They refuse to fire their coaches, who are also their friends. And I'm sure because all the head coaches were former assistants, they understand and have a intimate knowledge of what it takes and why, you know, things are not the coach's fault,
well,
but
yeah,
they need
Peyton
to make a change. But, you know, McMahon was here as an assistant. He was originally an assistent special teams coach
when he
first got here.
Peyton knows that if they got rid of McMahon, he ain't landing
anywhere
that
no.
job. Anywhere.
No, and I'm pretty sure he came from college. I think he was at Illinois, actually.
Yeah. Well,
but, but you look at Jim Moore, refused to get rid of Carl Smith, which is such a shame, because with that defense, if we'd have had somebody with half a offensive talent, we might have had a Super Bowl 20 years before. And then you look at Jim Moore again in Indianapolis. Supposedly why they got rid of him there is because he refused to make changes on his coaching staff.
And you know, I'm sure the assistants and all that like a coach like that. You know, you earn a little bit of a respect for your loyalty to guys. However, it also, the backfire is guys can figure, I'm going to go work for this head coach and I can kind of phone it in. He ain't getting rid of me.
Well, no, it also, okay, so I can go work for Jeff, but he refuses to fire Jason because he's such an incompetent. And now we're all going to get fired next year.
Yeah, right.
You know?
There you go. All right, next tweet. The Gear Fondler comes in with, could Browner be worse? I'm trying to say it like Chandler Bing. Could Browner be any worse? I've seen more from Berg this year, and he doesn't even play. When Lewis returns, please bench Browner.
I think maybe.
I don't know if this is strictly all Browner or if it's the coach is not playing him the way that he needs to be played to be successful.
Right, because if I'm not mistaken, Browner has been the starting cornerback on the last two Super Bowl teams.
Yeah.
Right.
So obviously they knew what to do with him.
Right.
Was that you that was saying that yesterday, Jason, in text, or did somebody else maybe tweet that it was it's not necessarily a Browner problem as much as it is.
I mean, it's probably a little both. Right. I mean, Browner's still coming off the injury. Maybe he's not 100%. I mean, he just looked... I mean, I don't know.
But when Bird and Lewis come back, Browner gets better.
Maybe. Sometimes, even if you are a strong link, when the other links around you are weaker, I mean, it affects the whole position, you know, group. Mm-hmm. That could be true. You're right. I mean, I'm hoping so. God forbid we had a pass rush. I mean, that you want to know what would really help them, a pass rush.
Yeah.
I mean, that would really, you know.
You can only cover a guy for so long, right?
Right. I mean, if we had Ricky Jackson and Pat Swilling on the team, you know what? All of our cornerbacks would look better.
All right. So you did make me think of something, though, as far as, like, strong weak, strong links, weak links. Damian Swan really
WikiLinks.
Coming along. Right?
Yeah.
Damian Swan is.
Yeah, no, he's another bright spot.
That's one that I was referring to in the intro where I was saying this is showing some development, some improvement. I'm really liking what I saw with him. All right. Next tweet. Another new tweeter from Tyler Dyer. This is at Life of Ty, THAI.
Ta-ta.
All right. Agree with Damon about not having a true number one wide receiver. should the Saints do everything they can to get Treadwell in the draft? I'm assuming he's talking about Laquan Treadwell at Ole Miss?
Oh, God.
Yeah,
I'm talking about
so.
Aaron Treadwell from South Lafourche Parish. Of course he is, you idiot.
Well, but that guy's a sophomore.
But maybe he's 3 years removed from
college.
Declaring himself eligible at the
I have no idea, but they do need to address receiver in the draft next year. A big, physical, fast receiver.
Right. But God forbid, I don't want him to do it in free agency.
Right. We'll pay another guy $60 million to not play.
Right.
Well, hold on. Haven't we actually addressed that with a big physical guy every year for the last few years, it feels like? I mean, Nick Toon, who signed with the Rams, by the way. Nick Toon, Brandon Coleman.
Right, but Coleman's an undrafted fourth round. I'm talking about like a first-round surefire stud.
Talent, thank you.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Well, remember what I tweeted y'all? I'm pretty sure I texted you. I don't tweet.
Yeah, you don't tweet.
But,
what are you talking about?
I texted y'all the other day. Javaris Landry went 5
Jarvis.
Jarvis Landry.
LeJarvis.
No.
In the hood, we call him LeJarvis, okay?
Oh, okay.
That's how we do it. I got street cred, motherfucker.
Okay.
So, anyway, Jarvis Landry went 5 picks after Sean Stanley Buckley.
Oh, you did text this.
Yeah, and boy, Landry would look really good in the Saints uniform.
Boy,
right,
wouldn't he? I mean, when I saw that, I just
makes your blood boil.
Well, because what I do to make myself angry is I go back and I look at the draft on Wikipedia. You go back and I'll see what we pick and I see where we fucked up.
Is everything, but if I had to choose.
But again,
but that's
see,
a
I get to see that.
And we took care of that. That Jeff Ireland's not going to make those kind of mistakes.
Well, I mean, yeah.
So far, it looks better.
Right. Yeah. You can already see improvement for that. All right. We're not going to dwell on the past. We got a lot more show to keep going with. All right. Time for NFL Reach Around. NFL Reach Around, just a couple of quick points. We don't have to go too deep into these. But Michael Vick came in for Ben Roethlisberger, the injured Ben Roethlisberger yesterday. And it got me to thinking, when did he start playing in the NFL? Wasn't it like 1982?
Same year as
Drew
Brees.
Same draft as Brees.
Really?
Same draft. He was the number one pick in the first round, and Brees was the number one pick in the second round. Also, LaDainian Tomlinson came up.
Yeah, that was part of the trade.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So, yeah. It's And look, it looks like Roethlisberger's going to be out for 6 weeks. Now that's another superstar quarterback.
Hey, that was my – I mean, I wanted to mention that. I mean, that is something, isn't it? I mean, you got Brees, Romo,
and
Roethlisberger.
Now.
That's
all that's going to pay for Rodgers and Manning struggling this year.
Well, that's because he's old.
Right. He's, 40, 39?
Something like that.
So you're looking at a Brady, Rodgers, or random guy.
Palmer. Again, Arizona, one of the best teams.
Yeah, Carson Palmer playing out of his mind.
You know, and good for them. I like teams who haven't won it before. I know they went with
Pittsburgh.
For Russell, you know.
Russell,
Kurt,
man,
I can't keep Kurt Warner.
Yeah, right.
But I mean that's since I'm pretty sure we're out of it, that's kind of who I'm pulling for.
So it's interesting with Pittsburgh now going to be without Roethlisberger for that, and it's going to be Michael Vick. I mean, it's crazy to think he's got another shot starting in the league.
Well, that's fine. I mean, he paid his dues for his.
He did
get $200 million contracts.
He's going to do what he does every time he plays. He'll be great for six games, five games, and then he'll get hurt.
Well, I think he'll be a serviceable quarterback. I think he'll do kind of like what Randall Cunningham did in Minnesota in 97, 98, when all of a sudden he was old. He was an older quarterback who didn't run anymore. and he became a pretty decent pocket passer in Minnesota. Now, they didn't have Randy Moss, who was just outstanding.
Oh, yeah, that kind of helps.
Randy Moss was the greatest wide receiver to play in the NFL.
But last week you said that was only because he played with Chris Carter.
No, I said because he was drafted by Minnesota. No, I mean, this is something we
can't. Yeah.
No, I said because he was drafted by Minnesota, and by that meaning that they had a black coach. And coming into the league, Randy Moss had a huge chip on his shoulder, and I don't think he would have played as well under a white head coach that he did under Dennis Green.
Under Willie Whitehead?
I did not pick up on that reference last week. I thought you were talking about the fact that he played opposite Chris Carter, which gave, A, Chris Carter being mentor to him.
And that helped, sure. I'm sure that helped. But that's not what I was talking about.
Everything aligned that paved the way for him to be one of the best.
Right. Talent. But again, I don't think he'd have played. I don't think he'd have played for a white coach because I think he'd have had a chip on his shoulder. Now, Randy Moss today, the 35 or the 40-year-old, however old he is now, if you watch him and listen to him, he's matured like we all do.
Yeah,
like we all do, and he's not this young, stupid kid, you know. So yeah. I'm very much like Randy Moss nowadays.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
I kind of like him on the, what is it, he's on CBS, right?
Yeah, me too. You know, he does well. He does very well.
I think he's always been a smart fellow.
Yeah, he is. And I like his nice country accent, too. He's a good country boy.
All right. Next thing, Darren Sproles had a beautiful punt return for a touchdown yesterday.
Yeah. Very proud of him. I don't care
about Saints fans who would take that as an opportunity to be like, hey, we should have kept him. But instead, thankfully, Marcus Murphy matched it with his touchdown.
Right. Give me Marcus Murphy. Kick
returns are so much fun. They're just so much fun.
Yeah.
Awesome.
You know, think game-changing plays.
Yeah, they really
are. Totally turn around field position, and it's just exciting.
Not for us. Didn't change our outcome, but anyway.
Most people.
right. So here's I was in San Francisco this weekend, and...
Oh, really?
Fags!
You have to add
that's a showstopper. That's a showstopper right there. Okay. So I'm gonna do the inception of topics here because I'm gonna throw a.
Have you seen this? Have you heard about this?
Inside NFL reach around. So, you know, I'm at this bar, and I go to the bathroom, and they got the newspaper and all that, and there's an article that I'm reading while I'm peeing, and it talks about how they're going to go ahead and the offense is going to now encourage Kaepernick to be a running quarterback, which I think deep down he always has been. Right?
Yeah.
But now he's given the green light, run, which I think, Damon, you've said several times on several episodes throughout the show, that's a recipe for disaster. And I loved hearing about it, and I loved seeing that. And then yesterday he goes and throws two pick sixes, even though it's unrelated to running. But I just love the dumpster fire that's becoming the San Francisco 49ers.
Right.
Oh, it's glorious.
Well, no, it is. And while I do, you know, they are my most hated team in the NFL, it just loses some of its the happiness because we're 0-3 also. <You know?
laughs> Story of our lives. We're only good when San Francisco's just a little bit better. And when they're bad, we're not good either. You can never take advantage of it. Okay. And then the last piece of NFL reach around, the fire on the Rams field. I don't know if you guys have anything to say about it, but my fear is that here we're going to be launched into this overreaction, and the NFL is going to ban all pyrotechnics within a 60-mile radius of arenas and stadiums and fields. You know, I guarantee you something crazy is going to come out.
At this point, that wouldn't surprise me. I mean, the game got delayed, what, like a half hour?
Right.
I think.
Yeah, I think so. Well, and let me and I'll make 2 points to the half-hour delay. I was there in the Superdome when the AstroTurf caught on fire because of pyrotechnics that were on the gondola.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't even shut the game down for 30 minutes for that. There was literally a fire above the field.
And they kept playing.
And they just kept playing. And as fans, we could watch, we could see it, you know. And then it finally went on the field, and, you know, the Saints staff ran out there with the Gatorade and dumped it on it. And again, they stomped it a little bit, and the game maybe a 10-minute delay. Maybe. But anyway, but being a longtime season ticket holder, 1989, I've missed a game in the Dome. I would be more than happy if they wouldn't do fireworks in the damn Dome, because it just makes it smoky and foggy, and the smoke really has nowhere to go. I mean, it's just a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
In a dome.
Domed. Right.
Right. I think that's all they would change is
right.
In a dome.
You want to do an outdoor stadium? Well, no, they're
assholes. You can do this, right, when they turn the lights down when the Saints come out, and they use those gas-powered...
Right, that's fine. Right.
That's fine.
But again, I so dislike when they do pyrotechnics in the dome. Because of the smoke, it just, you know, Jason, you...
It looks like the dome in 1977.
Right, exactly, right. It looks like you're watching an old...
You can smoke it anywhere.
Man, you just... All right, the good old...
And then you four people in the upper deck, they can't see shit because smoke rises.
Well, that's the terrace. That's where all the smokers are anyway.
Right. So, all right. But if you do that, then you just got to add a laser show.
Right, add a laser show. Now well, you know, we missed something on NFL Reach Around. I wish we would have talked about.
Oh, you can throw it in there.
Well, let's finish this, and then
go ahead.
Okay,
finish.
Okay. We're still in Reach Around.
Well, fuck.
Finish
fuck
us off.
And this goes with our it was our game. Cam Newton, I cannot stand that son of a bitch. That done nothing.
Ball in for a touchdown.
Say again.
Talking about when he took a bow after he ran.
No,
the ball
he does all that showmanship again. You haven't won a championship, you fucking cunt. But no, the whole thing with Ed Hockley.
Mm.
And I don't know. Y'all are aware of this, right?
Yeah.
Have you seen it? Heard about this?
Right, yeah. I forget who hit him, and Cam wanted a late hit, roughing the passer penalty, and he was talking to Hockley. And if you actually watch the film, Ed Hockley just said, he goes, oh, you're too young to get that call. That was his quote. And Cam Newton looks at him and, like, you know, makes his big showmanship. Like, you know, now no one watching TV, we don't know what they're saying. But, you know, he makes a big deal out of it that he was told he had to be older. And just, I mean, you stupid son of a bitch. You don't think the Hockley was just bullshitting with you? You know, he was just teasing you. I mean, just, you're a fucking do-nothing.
Like, reality,
fucking
buddy, that call. That's not a call that anybody would get.
Right. I mean, I think, right, that's reality, right. If it was rushing the passer, Ed Hockley would give it. It doesn't matter your age. Cam Newton took offense and... The NFL's investigating. I mean, stop it. Fuck
now,
him.
Hockley's going to lose his job over this.
No, I doubt it. He's pretty entrenched. I'm sure he had some friends himself. You know, right, he had some friends himself. But it's just a crybaby, whiny bitch that Cam Newton is. I'm so ashamed that he won a fucking national championship at Auburn.
All right. So Cam Newton is he's young. Maybe he'll grow up and mature a little bit.
No, he won't. He's stupid.
All right.
He's entitled.
And with that, we'll go into Pick'ems.
Time to play the game. Time to play the game. It's all about the game, and how you play it. All about control, and if you can take it. All about your debt, and if you can pay it. It's all about pain, and who's gonna make it.
Yeah, how was your Pick'ems week, Chase?
Well, I'll first start off by saying Pick'ems is currently incomplete, although Green Bay is up big. 24-7 on KC at half. And Green Bay laying 7.
No Monday night games. I thought we had that rule, Jason.
Well, there aren't enough good games. I'm just looking for the best games in the schedule.
Who gives a fuck? We can't pick any game.
All right, well.
We suck. No more Monday night games.
But either way, it looks like Green Bay, I mean, unless something crazy happens, it looks like.
I would say if you could avoid.
I'll do so going
Thursday
forward.
Thursday and Monday. because some people, our listeners, it,
you know, okay. Awesome. All right,
we don't get the show out. We're only giving.
Okay, that's fine. All right, consider it done. All right, the change made.
God but, damn it, Jason, do your job.
He's too young to pick Thursday night games.
But with the Kansas City loss, I would be 0-5 this week.
Golf clap.
It's funny. It's like the more sober I get, the worse my picks get.
0-5, but I had to beat you this week at least, right?
So oh yeah. That's assuming Green Bay holds on.
Right.
No. If Green Bay holds on, Jeff goes 3-2 this week, and Damon, you go 4-1 this week.
Right. So Damon.
Yeah. Wait a second. If Green Bay wins.
Right.
Okay. Well, good. The fuck did I do last? What the fuck did I do last week? It was so.
You went 1-4 last
week. Oh, I thought you said I went 4-1.
This week?
Oh, Jesus.
Well, no, but that's what I'm saying. But I picked the games last week. So what the fuck did I do different last week? That was my point.
You picked poorly.
Yeah, right.
No,
You weren't on the show. You actually had to pick.
That's right. You had to pick them through text.
You didn't have Jason's pre-pick.
Info. That you needed. That's right.
Yeah. Well, I changed my pick from Denver to fucking Kansas City. That was stupid. And then I picked I trusted San Diego. That was stupid.
Hey, you know what was stupid? All my picks this week.
Yeah. All right. And then with the extended forecast.
Sorry, fellas.
Glenn is sitting on top of the overall game with a 10-4 record. He went 3-2 this week. Alex is tied with me for second place at 9-5. Then Dad to Twins and Wheels, both 8-6. Hungry Hoodat and Damon are 7-7. Jason at 5-9, and RD at the bottom of 3-6.
You know what I think of my picks? All right, let's get into week 4.
You use that to this week.
Let's move into week 4. I'm going to quickly try to forget about last week. I just don't know what I was thinking. Really don't. Another week of games. That's just there's not a lot of really appetizing games on the schedule. I struggled to fill out the schedule, and even the shitty game was hard to come by.
I'm surprised. Well, then pick whatever the fucking game we're in.
Saints are playing Dallas.
Right.
No.
Seems pretty shitty to me.
Trying to keep us out of the shitty game for at least another week or two, right?
We're the shittiest team in the league right now.
Hard to argue.
Doesn't Jacksonville even have a win?
They do.
Yeah.
Against Miami.
They beat Miami. No, they beat Miami.
They beat Miami, yeah.
It's Baltimore, Detroit, Chicago, and the Saints are the four winless teams.
Chicago.
Yeah, Chicago's pretty bad. Yeah. All right, so let's get into this week's slate of games. First matchup, we've got the Minnesota Vikings at the Denver Broncos. Minnesota coming off an impressive win at home against the Chargers. Adrian Peterson rushes for over 100 yards and 2 touchdowns. Going against the Broncos, who are coming off a win on the road at Detroit, 24-12. Doesn't really look too impressive, but Detroit's kind of terrible. And, hey, I mean, Broncos getting it done, keeping the winning going, looking like they're adjusting the offense a little bit to cater to more Manning's offense instead of trying to run Kubiak's offense, which seemed to be a little problem at the start of the season. But this game is in Mile High, and Broncos are favored by 6.5.
Ooh, 6.5, Denver?
6.5.
All right, I'll go first on this one. And check my net points first.
Oh, back to this, though, eh?
Hang on. What was the Denver score this week?
24-12.
Okay. And then Minnesota scored 31 in San Diego. I'm going to go with Minnesota to cover, but Denver to win.
Okay.
Thank you. Just say Minnesota.
Yeah.
Well, I just want to point out, I don't think Minnesota's beating the Denver Broncos.
Okay.
Well, I don't know. And I'm sorry, what is the spread?
6.5.
God. Yeah, you know what? I mean, it seems like I'll take Minnesota. I'll definitely take Minnesota. It does seem like Denver, like you said earlier, Jason, I mean, Peyton Manning is showing his age.
Now, he is, although he did pass for 324 yards and 2 touchdowns this week.
Right, normally it would have been for 400 yards and 6 touchdowns.
Yeah. quite the conundrum, because initially I was
having trouble running the ball.
Initially I was leaning towards Minnesota, but then I realized, man, Denver's defense is awesome, especially their run defense. I mean, they held Abdullah to 23 yards rushing this week. So if they stop...
Are they really, or are they just better than our defense?
Every defense is better than our defense.
So you think they're actually...
Germany's defense is better than our defense.
So, I mean, if they shut down Peterson, I don't know that Bridgewater is going to be able to beat him. That defense is tough on a young kid.
It is.
I'm going to go with Denver.
Okay. I'll tell you, there's a part of me that would change it to Denver because of that comment on the defense, but Abdullah's not Adrian Peterson, so.
No, I mean, no, nobody is, really. All right, our next game, battle of the AFC North. The surprisingly 0-3 Baltimore Ravens are traveling to Pittsburgh to take on the Pittsburgh Vicks, who are sitting there at 2-1, coming off a 12-6 win at the Rams. Of course, we talked about it earlier, losing Roethlisberger. Baltimore with a tough loss at home to Cincinnati. What a crazy ending to that game. A.J. Green and Steve Smith both went monkey poo in the game. A.J. Green with 10 catches, 200 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Steve Smith, 13 catches, 180 yards, and a touchdown. This game is at Pittsburgh. The Steelers are getting 3 points at home.
The Steelers are getting...
getting points at home. So Vegas really does not like Michael Vick in this matchup.
No.
That's interesting.
Are you sure about that?
That's...
No,
that's,
okay. Right. The Pittsburgh is getting three. You do get three. You get 3 points at home.
Right.
No.
I mean, that...
You give three. It's the other way around.
Home team.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
That's right.
Okay.
I'll go first. Shit.
I go first, what? Because apparently you weren't. Apparently you said you were going first, but then weren't ready.
I'm going first.
He button-hooked me. All right. I'm going to go Baltimore. I'm figuring Baltimore won't go 0-4.
I figured they wouldn't go 0-3, and that happened.
Yeah, I figured they wouldn't go 0-3, too, and they burned me on that. And Michael Vick came in and still won the game, and Baltimore. Think about it. This is a division team. They're used to Pittsburgh with Ben Roethlisberger. That's how they, you know, you build your team to win your division. They're not ready for a Michael Vick, and I'm going to say Pittsburgh with points is an easy pick.
Wow. All right, our next game.
They lost to Oakland. They're not good.
Oakland might not be terrible.
All right.
What kind of compliment is that? They might not be terrible.
Hey, that's what somebody in Oakland's saying about us right now, too.
They're terrible. All right, this next game, across the pond in jolly old London, the New York Football Jets against the Miami Dolphins. Both teams coming off losses this week. Jets coming off a loss to the Eagles at home, only scoring 17 points. Meanwhile, the Dolphins... I don't know what's going on with them old chaps. They got destroyed by the Toronto Bills. 41-14.
Toronto Bills.
Technically, Miami is the home team. Don't know what the crowd's going to be like. But they're getting 2 points.
All right.
I'll go first. I have
with a British accent, Damon.
First of all, Neil and Neer, feel free to tweet in at how bad that accent was.
I thought that sounded very, very, very British to me. I'm going to do my British accent. I take the Jets.
Oh, that's horrible. You know how many British listeners we have?
No.
Several. We have several.
Ooh. Nah. Oh, it's a joke. Can't we all just laugh and get along with one another?
Oh, was that a joke because they like soccer?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Be careful. Be careful, British people. There'll be more than 3 points scored. So, yeah, I know it might be too much for your little European brains.
All right. So, who are you taking?
The Jets. In this game, even?
Miami's getting 2 points.
2 points. I still think the Jets.
Yeah, I'm with Damon. I'm taking the Jets. Miami, everybody keeps saying how Miami's got a lot of talent this year, but...
Yeah, so did we last year.
they have a bad coach.
Yeah, that's true, too.
We might, too.
No, our coach is a Super Bowl champion.
That's true. All right, I take it back.
All right, I guess I'll go with the Jets also.
Miami's net points on the year is minus 23.
Yeah, they're not good, and there's reports that Dominique Sue is running his own shit, so... I mean,
yeah, I heard that. What an asshole.
Just sounds like a real lack of leadership over there.
Well, that's what you have when you have a coach that,
right.
That
right.
went through the bully scandal, and you, again, right, you yeah. cut your legs, his legs off. It's just time for a change in Miami.
All right, and if you thought my British accent was good, wait till you hear the next one. We got a battle in New York. It's the New York Football Giants against the Buffalo Wings.
It kind of sounds like your British accent.
British, yeah.
Sorry. I'm,
they all kind of sound the same.
I'm trying to the conversion. It's
yeah, it's because you have the British in your head.
All right.
Jet lag.
Yeah, so... Oh! Right. So, I mean,
that's a good one.
The Giants coming off a 32-21 win on Thursday night at home against the Redskins. Buffalo coming off an absolute
thrashing. Oh, you mean the Red Clouds?
Yeah, the absolute thrashing.
Minority Report last week?
Of the Dolphins, 41-14. Tyrod Taylor. I mean, who would have ever predicted what he's doing? I mean, 270 yards, 3 touchdowns this past week. He's also run the ball a little bit. And this Buffalo team, surprising some people.
Not me. I expected them to be good this year.
Oh, shut up.
All right. So this game is in Buffalo, and Buffalo is favored by 6.
God damn it.
Damn, this could have been an easy pick, but ugh.
Go ahead. I went first last time.
All right. I went first the first time.
It's your time, Ryan.
I want to. Oh, this is going to be a make me or break me, but I want to go with the Buffalo because the wins that they've had this year have been pretty big wins, more than 7 points each. But the Giants do have arguably the best receiver in the NFL.
And they don't.
Odell Beckham Jr.?
He's not the best receiver in the NFL.
Well,
he's close. He's a good receiver.
He's up there.
I said arguably. Now, you want to argue about it?
I just did.
Whereas the Giants have put up 32, 20, and 26 points, respectively. Yeah, it's a question of do you believe Buffalo's for real? And I'm going to say, yes, I'm taking Buffalo. This is a separation pick. I'm either separating in the right direction or the wrong direction.
You're taking – wait, hold on. I think you button-hooked me. You are taking Buffalo?
Yep.
Oh, well, I don't think that's that hard a pick.
I'm giving the Giants 6 points.
I'm going to take those 6 points and roll with the Giants.
There you go.
He
needs to, folks. He's 5-9.
Well, I mean, the Giants could be 3-0 right now if they don't blow a couple games at the end. So if they're 3-0, I think the point spread is going to be closer to 2 or 3, which is where it should be.
All right. That's a good counterpoint, yeah.
I think no one circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills. Hickory Dickory Dock. The New York Giants are cock. I'm going with the Buffalo Bills.
Little boy blue, but he'd rather eat your girlfriend's ass. Oh!
All right, and now our shitty game of the week.
Here we go. Of shit car, I got a piece of shit car. That fucking pile of shit never gets me very far.
All right, so it was hard to find usually it's like, oh, you can easily tell it's a shitty game of the week. Hard to find it this week, so I stuck with one of the worst divisions in football, the NFC East. The 1-2 Philadelphia Eagles at the 1-2 Washington Redskins. Right. Philly getting their first win this past week. Finally start, trying to right the ship a little bit for them. Washington, of course, coming off a loss against the Giants last week. Kirk Cousins throws more picks, like he's been thrown to do. This game is in FedEx Field. And Washington is getting 3 points at home.
Oh, another one, huh?
Another home dog.
All right. Jason, you go first on this.
Always take the home dog. I'll take the Skins.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm the question is, when does Philadelphia overthinking, overexplaining? No, I mean, think about it. Philadelphia's not supposed to be this bad, and it's only a matter of time before they come out and just blow something up.
Not necessarily.
I mean,
so we thought that about the Saints last week.
Right.
Yeah, that's true, and that is a risk.
Jeff, I'm giving you the thing. Take the home dog.
You probably should do the opposite of me, because it looks like I'm about to have one of these rebuilding pick 'em seasons.
I'm going to stick with Philadelphia. I'm going to go with Philadelphia on this one. I just think that, I mean, there's no way that DeMarco Murray is that bad. I mean...
No, yes, it is, because DeMarco Murray, he was not the fucking greatest thing since sliced bread like the media wanted to blow him. Dallas has one of the best offensive lines in the NFL. Right. And that leads me to another point that I texted y'all this week. Perfect segue, thank you. could you imagine all the blowing they're doing to Tony Romo right now? Can you imagine if he had the stats of Drew Brees? The most 5,000 yards
in NFL history. Talking about Drew Brees, they do Tony Romo.
No,
I mean,
right, you know, a Super Bowl championship.
Star who's injured too.
Oh my God, no, because they just can't get the cock out of their mouth. That is Dallas. I don't know why. I don't get it. I don't, you know, I like Tony as a person. I've read some articles about him. I think we all have. He's a nice guy. I don't blame Tony Romo at all. I think he's the salt of the earth. But the media to keep, but Tony Romo, he's a man who's done nothing in the NFL. Nothing! But they blow him like he's the second coming of fucking Joe Montana. Now stop it, God damn it! Just stop it!
All right, we won't talk about him anymore.
Right.
Moving on. Saints preview.
I'll take the Dallas Cowboys.
all right, I'm going to give you a quick intro here. Saints, the Cowboys coming to New Orleans, 7:30 Central Time, NBC, Sunday Night Football. Cowboys offense ranks 8th in the NFL against the Saints' 29th ranked defense.
Yeah, but they don't have Tony Romo, though.
Okay, but they didn't last week either. Saints offense is ranked 12th against the Dallas' 8th ranked defense. Drew Brees' visit to Birmingham, what was it, today? Has him coming back feeling good, but I'm still going to say we should classify him as questionable until we hear more. Meanwhile, Tony Romo does Bryant both out. Dallas is coming off of an 11-point loss to Atlanta, who has modeled themselves after the Saints over the last few years as far as how you build your team. So does that mean that we have a chance?
Well, look, if you listen to Sean Payton today, he said he's very encouraged that Drew Brees will play this week. I know Sean Payton always tells the truth at press conferences. He's a very open guy, so I like that. It's going to be a weird game if Brees doesn't play, because you have arguably the top three well-known players, Bryant, Romo, and Brees, not on the field.
National television.
Right, yeah. NBC definitely does not like that.
No.
We know Romo and Dez. We know that. That's 100%. We lost 3 in a row. We normally like to lose them, you know, 4 at a time when we lose in the beginning of the season. So,
it's too early to know with him. I mean, I think it's all in his arm strength and whether or not he's got the ability to throw downfield. Otherwise, we'll. You know, I mean, after watching what we watched last week, I don't feel terrible about going with McCown.
You shouldn't.
It's all going to be about what is this defense going to do against that offensive line?
Nothing.
Yeah, you're right.
That offensive line, like I just said, come on, it's arguably the best in the NFL.
I mean, this, you know, this defense is going to make Brandon Weeden look like an all-pro.
Yeah.
And that's what scares me.
Yes, yes.
Because we're going to have no pass rush. He's going to have all day to throw, and guys are just, you know, you give anybody enough time, they're going to get open, and they're going to make plays.
You are correct.
So we have to find some way to generate a fucking pass rush. I don't care if you got to fire Bill Johnson midweek. You do something.
And bring in Bill Brask.
Something.
I don't know.
Any kind of motivational speaker. Somebody dress up as Matt Foley and get in there. I mean, anything. So that...
Yeah, folks, I don't know what we're going to see. I mean, again, we were in the Carolina game all the way up to the end.
I wonder if Jari misses another game. You know, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, if...
Oh, well, yeah. Exactly. I don't think miss, you know. That might be a, that might be a nice... Right, that might be a nice way to say we benched his fat ass. Hop
especially
on.
If he's not close to 100%.
Did we play Dallas last year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They beat us.
They beat us pretty bad.
Trounced us.
Yeah.
Well, there goes that theory.
I mean, we'll see. What, you know, of course, you got all the hot takes this week about how bad the defense looked. What are they going to... What kind of game plan are we going to toss out there this week? Mm-hmm. I mean, Julius Randle ran for a bunch of yards last week. It was pretty shot. All of a sudden, I looked at the scoreboard. I'm like, shit, Dallas is up 21-0. You know.
And they blew it.
Well, right.
And they blew it against Atlanta.
At first, I was kind of like, hey, Atlanta loses and we beat Carolina. We're just one game back. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah.
And then we lost and Atlanta won.
Yeah, right.
Carolina won.
Now we're two games back.
And the milkman's fucking your wife.
You know, I mean, obviously they're going to try to.
The Saints were on top of the division.
Now the division's on top of the Saints.
Now we are the NFC South's bottom bitch.
Yeah.
Sure, you might have a higher draft pick next year, but the other three teams' quarterbacks is fucking your wife.
You know, so, it was much more fun when we were winning. It really,
well, of course.
I enjoyed talking to y'all.
You don't like talking to anymore?
It's just getting depressing. So, I mean, I'm
impressed if that we're not as upset and depressed about this.
Well, I mean, it's not like we had expectations, but not
high.
Not like last year. Right. I mean, we kind of understood.
I'm
assuming that Dallas is going to try to do the ground control, run behind that offensive line. So we're going to have to find a way to get anything out of our defensive tackles.
Okay, Jason.
Well, I'm just trying. You know, my key point of the game is stopping their run.
Thank you. My key point of the game: score more points than the opponent.
Ah, that was mine. Yeah, my key points in the game is stopping the run and scoring more points than the opponent.
And again, we'll see what the crowd looks like.
No turnovers.
I mean, how many Cowboy fans are going to be there?
Well, see, that's a good question. Now, Doug and I were talking about this today.
Oh, they're going to travel.
No, I don't know, because Romo's not there. They might, you know, Romo's not there. They might not travel. But the Saints aren't playing well, so
you're going to have more local people willing to sell their tickets. Plus, it's a Sunday night game, so there's the hassle of a night game and getting up for work.
Oh,
some people are just going to say,
"Motherfucker!"
Not this guy, but you're going to have a lot of people that do that.
No, you're right. All right, pause for a point.
Used to be in 2006, 7, 8, 9, that a night game was when the fans wanted to go to the game.
But you'd go to the game, and Gary Jones was fucking your wife.
You got to get up and go to work the next morning.
You didn't care. You took off the next day because you wanted to go and see the Saints.
Whoa, fuck.
Rip the shit out of another team. All right. All right. So, score predictions.
35 New Orleans, 28 Dallas. Wait a second.
Does Breeze play with that? Breeze playing or McCown playing?
It doesn't need to play
I don't know if it matters.
It doesn't matter, but I do need to revise that. 34 New Orleans, 28 Dallas, because the Saints are going to miss an extra point.
I love it. That was great.
Damn. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, I haven't seen the Saints score that high, and I don't think they will. I'm going to stick with maybe
27, New Orleans, in that same line of thinking as Damon. 24, Dallas.
That's probably a better.
In fact, so it looks like we win it on a 1 second left in the game field goal by Hocker. The game will be won with the last play.
What score did you say?
27-24.
All right, I'll go 30-28, Saints. Can't believe we're all picking the Saints to win it.
Well, they're missing their two best players.
I don't know, man. We're on such a great winning streak at home. Losing streak.
Right. Well, right. And all good things come to an end. So time to snap the losing streak. And this, this is the worst losing streak at home since I think like 78 and 79.
Yeah.
I mean, since we were born. All right. So, yeah. No offense. Let's wrap this up because I'm going to.
All right. Yeah. I'm
going
to bypass final thoughts due to the length of the show.
I'm going to keep myself. Let's go.
All right, that's all the show we have for you right now. We'd like to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and for telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. Like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast. So if you don't listen to us on iTunes, Android, or Google Play, there's the old-fashioned way of listening to our show, Dome Patrol Podcast.com. Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, regular talking donkeys.
Good night, Hootat Nation.
Shit.